You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network. This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business. Business success. Today, once again, we are with Marvin Doniger, a management consultant to Fortune 500 companies, a college instructor, an investor who has written a series of common sense books to help people manage their finances. Marvin, welcome back to Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. Always good to have you. It's always good information. So why did you write your book, Common Sense Prescriptions for Financial Health? Get into that a little bit, if you would.
Sure, I'd be glad to. As you mentioned, I've been a management consultant to Fortune 500 companies, and you know, I've had the opportunity to deal with senior level executives, a lot of chief financial officers, and these are guys who are very savvy in the world of finance. But they kept asking me, how do they know how they're doing financially? You know, they understand how their business is doing. They can deal with that, but when it comes to their own finances, they ask for help. And, you know, we were talking, and, you know, they say, well, you know, some people, if their paycheck covers the bills, gee, that's great. Others say, if I have X amount of savings, gee, that's great. You know, if I have no debt, that's great. But, you know, how do I meaningfully measure it? And the analog I came up with was doctors. Doctors have a means for measuring our physiology, i.e., how we're doing health-wise. And it seemed to me that there was an analogy in the world of finance for entrepreneurs. And I came up with this thing called questrology. And questrology is actually derived from the Latin word quaestor, who were basically the accountants for the Roman legions. So I thought that was pretty, you know, interesting and analogous to the fact that here's a means for financial people of all skill levels to manage their finances and know where they stand.
And I think it's brilliant, and it certainly is needed. What would you say is unique about the book's approach?
Well, you know, for the first time, there's really a comprehensive set of tools. As I mentioned before, you know, some people said, hey, you know, if I have this or that, I'm in I'm good shape. You know, I have a cousin of mine who, you know, is, you know, at retirement age, and his measure of success or financial stability is if he has 1 year's worth of living expenses in his savings account. And, you know, that may be good for one versus others, but, you know, it's clearly not a world where one size fits all. Depending upon, you know, one's age, whether, you know, we're just getting out of college or in high school, or we're trying to pay for our children's education, or we're worried about retirement, you know, there's different measures of success. And I developed, if you will, through this questrology, a means of measuring these against these norms. Just as a doctor measures your, if you will, your blood pressure and your other signs based on your age, it also made sense from, my perspective to measure one's financial condition based on where one was in their stage of life.
So let's look at how do we determine our financial health? How do we do that?
Okay, that's a great question. And the first way to do it is basically to understand what your fixed, variable, and discretionary financial obligations. Examples of fixed financial obligations: your rent, your car payments. You know, certainly, you know, and for some, you know, that includes health insurance. For others, it doesn't. But, you know, I don't want to get into that. Then there are the variable expenses. You know, those are the ones that are based on usage. You know, for example, depending upon how much we drive our car, that will determine how much gas we need. Depending upon how much we eat, that will determine, you know, how much food we spend. Those are variable costs. Then there's discretionary costs. And with regard to discretionary costs, one person's discretionary costs may be another's fixed or variable. For example, you know, a woman, you know, and I don't mean to downgrade women, and I'm certainly not a misogynist, but, you know, women, a lot of women, you know, think that buying shoes or having the latest fashion is a fixed cost, a variable, not discretionary. But, you know, fashion heathens like myself view that as being discretionary expenses. So one needs to look at what they've spent over the last 6 months or so, and figure out what of those expenses were fixed, variable, and discretionary. Then, you know, just as, you know, a small business needs to manage their expenses. You know, they have fixed expenses and variable expenses. And certainly in the business world, what you really want to do is when you price, if you can't cover your fixed and your variable, you want to cover your variable and then make a contribution to fixed. In the world of personal finance, it's just the opposite. You want to make sure you cover your fixed expenses because those ones you can't control, and those are the ones that can really cause you trouble if you don't meet them. Because if you don't pay your expenses, you know, your credit is going to be dinged, and therefore it's going to be harder for you to obtain credit. So it's important to cover your fixed and to minimize your variable to the extent that you don't have enough income to cover both. Discretionary costs, you know, should be minimized, and certainly in the case of businesses, should be zero in the event of, you know, unprofitable business. You know, that means not taking clients out for dinner and going on junkets and into business conferences and all that stuff. However, you know, for individuals, it's important to minimize discretionary costs because that's the easiest way to have a pool of money for savings. And important, if you don't save money, you can't have financial security.
And that is where the rubber meets the road, without a question. Today, we're joined by financial expert Marvin Doniger and author of his latest book, Common Sense Prescriptions for Financial Health, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Marvin, how can small business owners apply the lessons of your book?
Well, it's very simple. It's number one, define what your objectives are. When you have a business, you're trying to accomplish certain things, whatever they may be. Certainly, you know, that's certainly every entrepreneur dreams of success. And some of them do make it, but, you know, there are certainly a number that don't make it. And similarly, from their own personal finances, it's important to understand what they're trying to accomplish. And in terms of that, you know, certainly from a personal perspective, I think most people would want to say, hey, I want financial security. And for each of us, that means different things. And it's important to define what you're trying to do. Just to put that in perspective, you know, what my financial objectives have been, number one is to be able to satisfy all my financial obligations and to set aside money for what-ifs. And, you know, that became very important for me because at an age that where one would not be forced to retire, I was forced to retire based upon an illness, and it sort of allowed me to put things in perspective. And I don't mean to brag, but, you know, I had put in place a set of actions that allowed me to survive that and to basically prematurely go into retirement. But, you know, financial security is basically, as I said, depends on the individual. And for me, what my financial objectives are right now is to maintain my pre-retirement lifestyle and to serve as a financial backstop for my children. That's what my objective is. And so certainly for me, that's financial security. For somebody else, it may be something entirely different. There's certainly been a lot of press lately that's saying that, you know, 80% of you would need 80% of what you had in pre-retirement income in retirement. And there's also been studies that are suggesting maybe you need less. But for me, it was maintain my pre-retirement lifestyle. And therefore, you know, it's really important to not concentrate your wealth in non-financial assets. And certainly the housing debacle of several years ago says that, you know, there were a lot of people, especially in California, who thought they were wealthy because their house was worth X. And then all of a sudden they found out their house was worth 35 or 40% of X. Their financial, you know, if you will, position severely deteriorated. And so it's important to have assets that are not tied up in illiquid assets. And gold would be another one. Certainly there's a lot of, you know, press right now. Every time you watch TV, you can't help but see ads for, you know, protect yourself with gold. Well, you know, if somebody had protected themselves with gold a few years ago, it was at $1,800 an ounce. Now it's $1,100. That doesn't sound like very much protection to me. And the other part, when you start investing in gold and those other assets, there are high transaction fees. And gold doesn't necessarily generate any income to you. It's just only when you sell it do you get some income. So it's important to basically have assets you can liquidate in a timely manner and that are not expensive to liquidate. Without, you know, liquid assets, you have no financial national security, and that's all true in a business. You know, you may have all your assets tied up in receivables or inventory or fixed, you know, property, plant, equipment, but they're not worth anything in the event of having to liquidate. So it's important to have liquid assets that meet your financial objectives.
Good stuff and good information. Can you give our audience examples of some of the book's financial prescriptions?
Well, you know, certainly the first and most important one is, you know, assume responsibility for your own financial condition. You know, if you're the CEO of your, you know, startup, your entrepreneurial company, you can't delegate that necessarily to the CFO. You know, you make sure that, you know, what he is doing is consistent with what you want. And it's also important to have measurable milestones. You know, it's one thing to say we're going to put, you know, a man on the moon, or, you know, we're going to be a company of, you know, $100 million or whatever. But it's important to have milestones so you can measure whether you're making progress against that. You know, one thing, you know, it's important, you know, others may empathize with you in the event that, you know, the bluebird of disaster, you know, dumps all over you, you know, you and your business. But, you know, empathy doesn't buy you anything. All it is sympathy. You and you alone cannot afford to delegate responsibility because in the final analysis, you are the one who bears the responsibility. Whether the entrepreneur who had, you know, made these projections to your investors, or you are the family household head who's made, you know, implicit promises to your family that you would protect them and provide for their security. It, you know, is important. You know, most people run into problems not when they're in dire circumstances, and similar with companies, but is when things are going well. You know, I can recall a client of mine who basically was a startup in the Silicon Valley of San Jose and was, you know, well-known within the community and had put up this edifice of unbelievable buildings, I mean, that cost tens of millions of dollars. But the business went down the tubes. And if they had had access to money, and those buildings certainly were not, you know, liquidatable, the company was forced into bankruptcy. And so, you know, it's important to plan for the unforeseen. And if the unforeseen doesn't happen, gee, that's a pleasant surprise. But if you don't prepare for tomorrow and the potential hurricane that all of us will eventually face in our lifetime, some more severe than others, but it's important to plan for the unforeseen because that's the only way you can really assure success. And the other thing is, too, is don't wait till tomorrow or New Year's resolutions or whatever. You know, tomorrow may be too late. Start today. You know, start thinking about it. Start thinking about what you're trying to accomplish and put together a plan. Now, not only a plan for success, but one with contingency factors. So in case things don't go the way you want, you can still be protected.
Couldn't get enough more information on this topic. I'm sure the listeners agree totally with me there, and it's always good to have you. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, takeaways, or a final tip for the listeners today?
I guess, you know, again, I would say, you know, some people, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs may not want to deal with finance because, you know, they have this great product that they get in the market. But again, you know, don't delegate. If people cannot explain to you what in effect they're doing for you, you know, don't let them get away with it. Make sure you understand. You know, that's also, you know, certainly if you're going to a financial advisor for your personal finances, gee, that's great. But remember, he's interested in feeding his family. You are interested in protecting your family. So make sure you understand what they're doing. And if you don't understand it, don't do it. You know, I have a cousin of mine, another cousin, who, you know, keeps frequently asking me for financial advice. And I send him, you know, research reports and all that stuff. And to his credit, he says, you know, I really don't understand that. So I would sit down and explain it to him, and we'd go over it and over and over it. And, you know, if he doesn't understand, he'd say, you know, thanks, I know you've done the best you can, but I'm just going to pass on it. Similarly, you know, for an entrepreneur, beware of investors and what they're offering you because, you know, their interests may not be commensurate with yours. Remember, again, only you can ensure your financial success.
And that is so true. Marvin, if you would, tell our listeners where they can find you and your work online.
And they can go to booksbydoniger.com. And Doniger is spelled D-O-N-I-G-E-R. So it's booksbydoniger.com. And, you know, another thing, this may be out of sequence, but, you know, just as Smokey the Bear says, only you can prevent forest fires, you know, I would say only you can ensure your financial success.
Well, Marvin, it's always good to have you. Excellent information, and thanks so much for taking a moment to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly look forward to our next conversation.
And thank you for having me, Eric.
And it's always our pleasure. We've been speaking with financial expert Marvin Doniger and author of his latest book, Common Sense Prescriptions for Financial Health. And once again, the website of reference. And for more information, it's booksbydoniger.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.